Chapter 21. In the living room, Mum is holding Charlie in her arms as she rocks back and forth on the sofa. Grandad just sits there helplessly, holding his head in his bandaged hands, as if trying to understand what Haley's telling us. The solar flare caused catastrophic damage to the ISS onboard computer systems, the command and control MDM, telemetry and communications interfaces, and life support systems have all been fatally compromised. Failures in electrical systems have caused multiple fires to break out in all sections of the space station, and its orbit is rapidly deteriorating. Mission control has ordered the crew to evacuate using the docked Soyuz. But what about Dad? I ask, still trying to make sense of what this means for him. He's not on board the ISS. He's at the launch platform. What's going to happen to him? Haley's face looks even paler than before. Mission control is trying to re-establish contact with your dad. The solar flare knocked out all communication systems, and even if mission control manages to restore any of these, the ongoing solar activity could take them out again at any second. If your dad has been able to follow the emergency protocols, he will have taken shelter in the launch platform's hab zone module. I let out a sigh of relief, unaware until then that I'd been holding my breath for Haley's reply. So he'll be safe there, I say. Haley hesitates. She glances down at Charlie, my sister's face a mask of puzzled tears as Mum holds her tight. Tell us, Mum pleads. Haley shakes her head, a tear running down her cheek. I'm sorry, she says. Even if Dan managed to take shelter in the hab zone when the solar flare hit, we don't know whether any of his life support systems have been compromised. If the hab zone is still pressurized, he's got a maximum of 6 hours of oxygen. But with the ISS falling out of orbit and the Soyuz evacuated, he's stranded there. Haley's crying now, the words juddering out. There's no way to bring him back. A black hole opens up inside me as Haley's words sink in. I feel like I'm falling off the edge of the world, my thoughts reaching out in desperation for something to grab hold of. But there's nothing there. If Dad's alive, then he's trapped on the Lux Eterna platform. 6 hours of oxygen left and no spaceship to save him. The black hole beats inside my chest. It hurts so much. From the TV comes a sudden burst of static, the blue screen replaced by a pixelated picture. For a second, I glimpse the bright white interior of the launch platform, the empty drawers of the light swarm delivery system still waiting for their payload. Then the picture disappears in another swarm of pixels, static buzzing from the speaker before the picture returns. For a second, I think this is the same blank blue screen as before, streaked now with white bands of interference, but then the picture shifts and I see the curve of the Earth, and beyond this the darkness of space. The picture is framed by a rectangle of polished steel, and I realise that Dad's looking out from the hab zone observation window. The blue is the ocean, and the white bands of interference are clouds drifting across the surface of the Earth. Between the blue of the Earth and the blackness of space, I see rippling lights dancing across the horizon, curtains of green and gold enveloping the world in a rainbow embrace. It's just like Buzz showed me, the solar storm raging across the sky. On the TV screen, the angle shifts as Dad rests his helmet against the observation window. That's when I see it. The ISS silhouetted against the blue of the Earth below, the familiar shape of its solar arrays twisted out of all recognition, jets of gas venting into space in multiple places from the damaged modules. A growing cloud of debris is billowing behind the space station, and, in the shade of this, I see the smaller shape of the Soyuz capsule, its main engine firing just like Dad said it would as he prepares for re-entry. The last lifeboat leaving as the ISS burns, and Dad's not on board. Tears are running down my face, the sound of Mum's sobs echoed by Charlie's wails. I can't imagine what Dad must be thinking right now. There's a hiss of static, then I hear the crackle of Dad's voice from the TV speakers. Like the ISS has suffered catastrophic damage. I hope everyone got out of there okay. At the sound of Dad's voice, the black hole of my heart hammers even harder. I don't know if you guys at Mission Control can even hear me now, Dad says, but thanks to some kind of miracle, it looks like the Lux Eterna systems are still fully operational, so I'm going to complete my mission and launch the light swarm probes. There's another burst of static, the picture on the screen freezing and pixelating before juddering back into life. I can see the banked units of the light swarm delivery system, the sleek white drawers still waiting for their cargo. Tell Jamie and Charlie that I love them, and I'm sorry I couldn't make it home. I hear a sudden hiss as Dad releases a catch on his helmet. Reaching up, he lifts it off his head and then turns the helmet to face him. On the TV screen, I see Dad looking at me. His dark fringe is slick to his forehead, his face drenched in sweat as he stares down the lens of his helmet camera. I watch as Dad places his hand against the visor of his helmet. "Bye, Jamie," he says, his words echoing across space. "I love you, son." Then, his voice is cut off by another burst of static as the picture on the screen freezes for the final time. With a sob, I run towards the TV, pressing my hand against the screen as if I can just reach out and pull Dad through. But then the frozen image of Dad's hand disintegrates, the coloured pixels collapsing into a blank blue screen as a dead dial tone rings out. I turn round to see Mum holding Charlie tight, their faces stained with tears, just like mine. He's gone.